Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
New research has found that almost 7 in 10 25 to 34-year-olds say the cost of owning a home is causing delays in getting married or having children, indeed. The research carried out on behalf of the Catholic Church's Marriage Preparation Service, Accord, also found that half of couples planning to get married would have done so earlier if it wasn't for the housing situation. To get more on the results of the survey, I'm joined by the director of Accord, Tony Shanahan, and in a moment I'll be joined by Rory Hearn, who's Social Democrats TD and housing spokesperson. You're both very welcome to the programme. But Tony, I'll come to you first of all, because the findings are stark, aren't they? There was a lot of feedback from couples about housing being such a huge issue.
Yes. Hello, Cormac. Thank you for inviting us on the show. We were looking at the data for the crude marriage rate that the Central Statistics Office publishes every year and watching it declining since 2016. And we were also struck by the recent CSO publication of Growing Up in Ireland, where 86% of 25-year-olds said they were concerned about housing. And we thought we'd commission some more specific research to see to what extent the housing situation was impacting on people's decisions to have a family and settle down or to have children, as the case may be. So naturally, we expected there would be some effect, but we were quite struck by the extent of the effect.
Mm. And let's break it down a little bit. 60%, is that right, of couples planning to have children, they say they would have done so before now if it wasn't for the housing situation.
Well, 60% say they have delayed or are delaying having children, and 36% of them said they would have had a child in the past 3 years if it weren't for the housing situation.
My goodness.
And a similar statistic with the couples planning to get married, 48% of them said they would have married before now if it wasn't for the housing situation, and 33% of them said they would have married in the past 3 years but didn't.
Okay, so for effectively for half of those couples, it's kind of like putting married life on hold.
It is.
Significant feedback as well about the problems that it causes, the lack of housing causes, because it affects day to day and it affects costs like renting, for example.
It does, but I mean, the delay in having children, of course, is going to affect the birth rate, and the birth rate will have knock-on consequences down the years for government policy, taxation and retirement planning and so on and so forth. So it's an interrelated kind of intergenerational issue, as well as the fact that if people are having children later in life, that will exacerbate the generation gap as well.
Yeah, you're right to point to the future, because they always point to the ticking time bomb of pensions. So if there are fewer children and in the next few years, there will be fewer in the labour force and then fewer people paying taxes to pay our pensions. Isn't that it? So it all has a knock-on effect.
It does indeed. So we also wanted to kind of look behind the situation, and rather than simply saying, you know, we call on the government to make supply a key priority. I'm sure they are working on that as a priority. We wanted to look at, well, what is it that is affecting supply? Because it's not the case that there aren't builders who want to build and there aren't buyers who want to buy. So we've got people who want to build, we've got people who want to buy. What is the difficulty? Because we have land. Land isn't a problem either. But it seems, and it always seems to have been the case whenever studies are done internationally, that when housing is a problem, the planning regulations and the complexity of them always seems to be the root cause. And, you know, in our own situation as well, we hear a lot about the vacant properties and so on. But I listened to the president of the Architects Society in Ireland, I think it was on your show a couple of nights ago, and he was saying that the housing regulations really are geared to new builds. There needs to be other housing regulations that are geared towards older properties to bring them into productive use cost effectively.
Yeah, that was a very illuminating conversation, I must say, and it's on the podcast page for Drive Time. Stay with me, Tony, for a second. I have Rory Hearn, Social Democrats TD as well, and housing spokesperson with me. Rory, you're very welcome. What's your reaction to what Tony is saying?
Yeah, thanks, Cormac. Again, it's, you know, it is shocking, but it's not something that I haven't been highlighting before, writing about, and the Social Democrats have too. Indeed, the issue of younger generations and what they're facing in terms of their lives from the housing crisis is something that we've been highlighting, particularly this issue of, you know, starting what we call an independent life. You know, the figures are very stark. We've 500,000 adults still living in their childhood box rooms. We have renters who are in situations where they don't feel secure in their housing. And all this impacts then on, in particular, something I've highlighted before, the issue of, for example, forming relationships. And indeed, during the election, in my own constituency of Dublin Northwest, I met people on the doors in Santry and Beaumont who told me, and these are young people, that they really wanted to have children, but they didn't feel they were either living in the family, the parental home, or they were in rental situations where they didn't feel secure. And indeed, in recent years, I've had people contact me who told me that they were in a housing situation, which meant they didn't feel they could have children. And then it just got too late. They weren't able to. And they were deeply, deeply upset from that, distressed by it, but very angry that they felt that their dreams and hopes of having children had been taken away from them by the housing crisis.
And the impact is huge, really, individually and on society right across the country. And people can text us to 51551. On the other hand, though, the government would say they are doing their damnedest to increase supply. They have a new target of 300,000 homes to be delivered over the next 5 years. They have cost rental. They have Help to Buy. The economy is on a secure footing. So the structures are there to help developers in the state build. What more can be done, they would say?
Well, a significant amount can be done. And we were speaking in the Dáil about this today, that the government haven't taken an emergency response. For example, in the issue of renters, they're talking about allowing rents rise further, which, of course, will lead renters to feel even more insecure rather than giving them some security around controlling rents.
Yeah, what do you mean allowing rents rise further? Are you talking about the review of the rent pressure zones?
Yes, the review of the rent pressure zones, exactly.
Looking at a new system, in fairness. It's not simply allowing rents to rise.
Well, all the talk and the Taoiseach was clear about this was that the shift on rent policy is around incentivising investment, which means, and all the landlord organisations were very clear on this, it means allowing rents rise even further.
Well, that's your meaning, in fairness, because if there would be a view in government that if you allow investment, it increases supply and it might drive down rental costs.
But you can't remove the very rent controls that we have in the context of the lack of that supply, because all that will do, we know, is it will lead to huge increases in rents affecting the very issue we are talking about here, which is young people's ability, and not so young, increasingly middle-aged people, ability to have a life, to feel secure, to have the income within which they can have a family. And just to say, the other issue that was raised in this report is the issue of vacancy, and we do have 166,000 vacant homes according to the last census. Yet the government's tax that was brought in to address this, only 2,000 homes are liable for that tax. And I've argued before that that was a tax not designed to actually work. There are more that can be done to tackle issues of vacancy and dereliction.
Well, they would point to Croí Cónaithe and various grants to allow homes that are vacant to be done up and brought back into the market again. What else should be done, Rory, in your opinion, that isn't being done? That's an easy win for the government.
Well, as I said there from the start, that in terms of renters, the removal of the an introduction of a ban on no-fault evictions could be introduced, which would give renters a security, because currently renters are living in complete anxiety about losing their home. A 3-year rent freeze would actually put some sort of control across the board on rents. In terms of investment,
really important though, because the other side of this equation is the landlord, and when you talk about a rent freeze and no-fault evictions, landlords have told us, and estate agents have told us, that the result of those initiatives could be landlords leaving the market.
Well, we have to decide here. Are we about trying to create a housing system where renters have security and affordability and can have a home, or are we simply about creating investment assets?
And I think that's the big question.
Well, you see, you have to decide, where does it end then? Do we just constantly allow rents rise? Do we allow tenants just constantly be evicted from their home, which we are seeing, and of course is a major contribution to homelessness? I just want to come back to the issue of supply, Cormac, because you asked about new ideas. The Social Democrats put forward an idea where, which was fully costed, it would cost $1.7 billion to put into local authorities and not-for-profit housing bodies that would deliver 10,000 affordable purchase homes directly delivered above what has currently been provided. That is an idea that the government hasn't taken on board. They're instead going down the road of tax breaks for developers, tax breaks for investor funds. There are things we can do.
I know, $150 billion. That seems so simple in one way, but is it simplistic? Because the question is, where would the workers come from if they're to be 10,000 over and above what the market is providing right now? I mean, where would those workers come from, Rory?
Well, there are areas we can get additional workers. The first thing is that there are workers building currently in schemes like hotels, for example, and that level of construction, the commercial office area, the commercial hotels, is reducing. And we do again have to ask, is it societally, what do we need as a society and economy right now? And we've just talked about the need to be able to enable our young people to feel secure in a home that they can have a family. We need to prioritise and put the construction workers that we have in this country to building homes and not offices and hotels. And also there are issues around, for example, the capacity in, for example, the modern methods of construction, fast build factories. We put forward an idea of investing in not-for-profit fast build factories that would significantly increase supply. It's not just construction workers. There are other ways we can increase supply. For example, there's a factory in England that's building 5,000 homes a year. You know, if we set up a number of those factories, we could have a much greater output in terms of delivery of housing.
Okay, can I come back to Tony for one last very brief question? Even if, and it's a big if, Tony, if the government meets its 300,000 new homes over the next 5 years, that will only meet demand. And there's a question mark over that, some would say. That means an awful lot of these findings that you have in your study, an awful lot of dismay among couples and people trying to build a future. I mean, do you expect to do more of these surveys, and could it be worse the next time round?
Yes, I would expect that we will do more of these surveys. I think it's worth pointing out that, there isn't just one housing market. It's not a case of a house is a house is a house. You've got different demographics, and as Rory was mentioning, there are people who are living in their parents' houses who would like to be independent. So that's one demographic. Then there's young couples. Then there's young couples with a child. Then there's young couples with two or three children. And then there's older people who live in bigger houses who may or may not want to downsize, as the case may be. So, the government policy needs to be working in a joined-up thinking kind of way, addressing all of the demographics,
okay.
I think.
Okay. Tony Shanahan of Accord and Rory Hearn of the Social Democrats, thank you very much.